O most Holy Spirit, come. Descend and fill the hearts of your faithful, faithful who are right here before you, broken and sinful and confused, afraid. We're right here before you, and we need you, and we need to praise and to worship you. We thank you and we love you. Kindle in us this fire of love, which is yours, just as you did the early church. Hold nothing back from us. Renew us, and let us renew the whole parish and everyone who comes to join us in sacred worship of you. We ask this in the name of Jesus the Lord. Amen. Amen. Acts of the Apostles. New Testament or Old Testament? New. You want to take your money or do you want to go for another question? It immediately follows the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, then Acts. The actions of the apostles, the actions of the early church, the emergent community of faith, the outpouring of the Spirit, and the transformation that takes place within the hearts of those who receive the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. And then the church grows, and it's against all odds. There's a million reasons from the world why it should have failed and failed quickly and completely, and it doesn't. Because we profess God as Holy Spirit, Lord and giver of life. Friends, if I could encourage you to do something in the remaining time of the Easter season, if you haven't done so, pick up Acts of the Apostles. Like nearly all of the books of the Bible, it's a relatively easy read. In fact, narrative, it's gripping story, it's dramatic, it's love, it's betrayal, it's suffering, it's victory. Geez, it sounds like a television show. But it's really gripping, and the story, of course, isn't so much humanity making it happen, but divinity so deeply desiring humanity and giving to humanity when humanity humbly is open to receiving the divine gifts. In the weeks that remain, I encourage you to pick it up and to read it. If it's something you've never done, don't be afraid of it. Just give it a go. It's God's word. Just let God speak to you how God chooses to do it. Acts of the Apostles. In this second chapter of Acts, after Peter, who's transformed by receiving this Holy Spirit, Lord and giver of life, and preaches in a way that he's never preached before. And it's not because he graduated from Dale Carnegie. It's because he's convicted in his heart and he knows Jesus to be true and real and alive. And he's compelled to simply make that known. And at the end of his proclamation to the crowd of pagans, we hear that they were cut to the heart. Cut to the heart. What does that mean? Have you ever been cut to the heart? It's a beautiful experience. Right to the core. You know, I've had people share with me military service, and it might have been a father or a mother or a grandfather or a grandmother or a relative who so cut them to their own heart by means of their selfless service that they were compelled to follow. and to serve country. I've had some who are in law enforcement, firefighters, first responders, testify to the same, that it was typically someone whose words and actions cut them to the heart at a particular moment in time, and they knew, yep, I'm going to be a cop. I'm going to be a firefighter. I'm going to be a first responder. I'm going to be a nurse. I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to be a teacher. Sometimes it's related to Christian vocation. I'm going to be married. Perhaps I don't know to whom. Or I'm going to serve the church. I don't know how, but I'm going to do it. Can you recall a time when you've been cut to the heart? It's a beautiful experience. Yeah, I remember when my dad's renal cell cancer reoccurred for the third time and renal failure was imminent. And it was shared with the family. And how it cut to the heart of us all. And it provoked us in the way that it provoked those who heard Peter. And the question became, what can we do? Because suddenly, the other stuff that was scurrying around in our minds didn't matter as much. There was a different reprioritization. When you're cut to the heart, that's what happens. What are we to do? You know, that's the question. We, it's first person plural. It's not just I, we. What are we to do? Friends, sadly, there are far too many who have not permitted themselves to be cut to the heart by the movement of the Spirit in their lives, by God's saving and true word. Just this week, I read an article, an op-ed piece in the Wall Street Journal, and the title kind of captured my imagination. The article didn't wind up being what I thought it would be, but it's entitled, A Catholic World Fades Over a Lifetime. A Catholic World Fades Over a Lifetime. I thought it was going to be an article about some place in the hinterlands where maybe there were missionaries who once upon a time went and preached and the faith no longer was there. That's what I was anticipating. That's why it's always good to read something that the title itself isn't enough. Remember that with links on the internet, you know? Well, in this article, the author is recounting his Uncle Joe who died and his funeral mass that he attended. Uncle Joe, as he says in the article, was 89 years young. And the mourners on the day of his funeral were very few. Uncle Joe had simply outlived a lot of people. Of the 50 or so friends and family assembled to pray for the repose of his soul, only a handful seemed familiar with the liturgy. A regular Sunday mass goer couldn't help but notice. Almost no one knew what to say and when to say it, or what to do and when to do it. He goes on to cite some very reputable surveys that have done great work in church and religion in the United States, studying it. 22% of American Catholics attend weekly mass. 45% of Catholics said that they were not familiar with the church's teaching that the bread and the wine consecrated at mass, that they're not symbols, but wholly and totally and completely the body and blood of Christ. But listen, don't despair. Catholics are not the only ones dealing with religious illiteracy. He goes on to say that 47% of American Protestants could not identify Martin Luther as the man who inspired the Reformation. And it gets even more bewildering. Jews, atheists, and Mormons were more familiar in the survey questions with Martin Luther than were Protestants. Wow. Jesus was really prophesied. Jesus really came. Jesus really lived. Jesus really suffered. And Jesus really died. And Jesus really rose. And he really did it all for us and for our salvation. So then, church, let me ask you, as baptized believers, confirmed in the Spirit, initiated as members of Christ's church, what are we to do?